The conference is now being recorded.
Good morning. Welcome to the Yowi Group March quarter conference call. Your presenters today are Mr. Bert Alfonso, Global Chief Executive, and Simon Andrew, Commercial and Finance Manager. Please go ahead. Thank you.
Morning, everybody.
Morning, everybody.
Welcome to the Yowi Group Limited March quarter. Commercial and Finance Manager for the group. With me is Bert Alfonso, Managing Director and Global CEO. This morning's call, Bert will run through the quarterly and some of the highlights there and some of the detail. That should take us about 10 or so minutes, and then we'll throw the call open to Q&A for 20, 25 minutes. So with that, I will hand it across to Bert.
Thank you, Simon, and good morning, everyone, particularly those of you that are still in the wee hours, and I appreciate you joining the call. I'm going to run through the highlights. Obviously, our earnings are out this morning. I'll take you through the highlights, and so that we maximize the amount of time that we have for Q&A, I'll be brief, and then we'll get on with what questions you might have. So we report our third quarter, fiscal 2017 today. We had our net sales up 50% versus the same period year ago. I'll get into a few of the challenges that we had during the quarter, but we are lowering what was previously in a floor of 85% net sales growth to 70. And that's a reflection of some bit lower sales that we had in the third quarter in the U.S., which I'll speak to key factors, a bit more of a staged rollout into Canada, or in other words, getting there a little bit later than we thought we might. And that all obviously is in the fourth quarter. On a year-to-date basis, our sales were $15.3 million. That's an increase of 60% versus comparable period the year before. For those of you that are keeping score, we've been in the business now in the U.S. for a little over 2 years, and our cumulative sales are around 33 million and about 20 million units. That translates on a retail basis into somewhere around 80 million Australian. The third quarter did include our return to the Australian market, something we're very excited about. And so we shipped a bit over $1 million. That product is on the shelf at selected retailers. For the North American business, sales came in for the quarter at 4.7. That was an increase of 20%. Quite a difference in terms of the composition of that increase. Our sales to that excludes our largest customer, and I think everyone knows our largest customer is McLane. That services the Walmart business, among others. Outside of McLane, we were up 120%, and we did have new accounts coming on stream, CVS, Meijer, and a couple of other important accounts for us in the quarter, in the grocery drug, and also extended our reach in convenience. From a quarterly sort of rhythm perspective, we were on budget coming through January and February, and had a bit of a bigger March hurdle, and we fell short there, which is why we're calling that out. We continue to have a very strong gross margin. We ended the quarter with a 56% gross margin, which obviously provides us a lot of flexibility in terms of how we support the business. Something as well very exciting for us, we've been working on this throughout the year. We have launched now what we are calling our Discovery Worlds brand. It has some similarities to our Yowie core brand, but it's a price segmentation strategy. So the retail on Discovery World is about a half of the retail price for a Yowie unit, very high quality, similar chocolate, and we did put out a small separate release on that. Again, it gives us really good opportunities to expand our shelf presence and compete at a different price point. Our production, which as we talked about in the second quarter, had hit a few speed bumps as we brought our second wrapper on commission and had some other issues with our robotics and the like, really bounced back in the quarter. And so while we still had some order delays early in the quarter, we ended with a very strong reliability on production. We produced around 5 million units. That's the best we've done by a considerable margin. And also for the first time in quite some time, we're able to start building our safety stocks with about 4 weeks cover. The U.S. business continues to gain market share, and in XAOC, which I'll remind everyone, includes all of the major channels except convenience. So it includes mass, such as Walmart, drug, such as CVS. It also includes club retailers like Costco, as well as grocery. We continue to expand our market share with a one share, that's up for a tenth of a point versus the previous quarter, and that's a very good reflection of our ability to continue to outpace the category growth on the front end chocolate confection aisle. We also would tell you that as measured in the last 52 weeks, among all of the chocolate producers in the chocolate novelty section, we are the only company that continues to gain share. We kicked off our spring campaign, which provides support for the brand on social media ahead of the Easter holiday. It kicked off about two weeks ago. It extends through July. And that was a $1.2 million investment, about the same level that we invested last fall ahead of the year-end holidays. And we're performing incredibly well. On Facebook, we're with one of our key commercials. We've already got 6 million views and near 3 million on YouTube, which is, as I said, well above the Google benchmarks. We'll be quite interested to see what type of impact we have on product demand as a result of those good results. And then finally, we continue to have a strong balance sheet. We ended the quarter with about $29 million in U.S. dollar equivalent. And as everyone knows, we don't carry any debt. There were some challenges. The quarter was not without some challenges. During the quarter, our largest customer made a distributor change. In the Western region. What that caused is the current distributor to pull back a bit on orders to reflect the fact that they were servicing less DCs, and the new distributor had not quite come up to speed yet, which should benefit us in the fourth quarter, but not in the third. And as I already mentioned, while we ended the quarter with very, very strong reliability and strong production numbers as well as gross margins. Early in the quarter, we still were digging our way out of some order delays, which sort of, pushes that through all the way. If I take those key factors into account, our estimate is somewhere near between the inventory reduction at the current distributor and some of the product delays, we would estimate about $1 million impact on the North American business during the quarter. Let me pause there. That gives you highlights for the quarter. I will certainly be able to address a bit more about the outlook. And in the announcement, I did make some commentary, although at a very high level, about 2018. But I'll pause there and take questions at this time.
Good morning. Thank you. This is Cara Joe from Express Virtual Meetings to conduct your question and answer session. Guests are invited to ask questions by pressing *1 on your telephone keypad. Please listen for your name and I'll introduce you through to the call. For any guests who do wish to ask a question, please press *1 on your telephone keypad now and I'll introduce you through to the call. We'll just give everyone a moment to think if they have any questions. Just one moment, please, while I see who the questions are from. Thank you.
Still there. Are you still there?
Yes, just bear with me one moment and we'll just get the names of the people that we have in our queue.
Okay, very good.
Okay, I'll put our first question forward, who's Matthew Elverson from Elverson Superannuation.
Yeah, thanks. Good morning, Bert. Bert, I just wanted to ask about the relaunch into Australia and whether that's been successful to date and what needs to be done to ensure its success from here.
Could you repeat that? I'm just on a regular cell phone here. I may not be getting the right.
Sorry,
just repeat your
question. Can you hear me a bit?
Go ahead.
I just wanted you to talk about the relaunch of the product into Australia in terms of its success so far.
Yeah, very good. I mean, it's very early days, as you might imagine. We are using Universal that has very, very broad coverage as our distributor. And we've decided to enter through some selected channels in terms of convenience petrols, specialty shops. We do anticipate that we will move into some of the bigger mass retailers, but we felt it was important to establish the right price point for our premium product. So far, we're getting extremely good merchandising and display in store. We've gotten lots of pictures and our takeaway numbers, while it's still early, obviously, we do know that there seems to be a lot of excitement and anticipation around the return of the product. We do plan very shortly to kick off a social media campaign and some grassroots events such as sampling and the like to bring the product back to new consumers that may not be so familiar. And obviously to remind those consumers that that had a relationship with the brand in its previous life. So we're very, very pleased with the initial kickoff. I would say that it's a little bit early to start to talk about consumption levels because it's only been on shelf for the past week to 10 days. But we will keep you up to speed on that as the quarter unfolds. And our expectation is that this is going to be a very good market for us, similar to last time. The only caveat to that clearly is when a product previously was launched into Australia, it was launched by Cadbury Schweppes that had a tremendous sales force and obviously had very deep penetration very quickly. But our objective is to reach those levels, but over a longer period of time. Have really, really great expectations for the brand. And we will support it with marketing investments.
Thanks very much, Bert. Thank you.
Thank you for your question, Matthew. Our next question is from Matthew Whitlock. Please go ahead, Matthew.
Yeah, thanks. Bert, if I could just get your comment on a couple of questions. One, just an update on the legal matters between Yowie and Whetstone and maybe a time frame of when that might be finalised?
I can give you an update. First, let me talk about the part of the case that involved the equipment. As you know, we had a dispute about one of the foil wrappers, the first one that was installed. And back in November, if I recall, the judge ruled in Yowie's favor that we can, in fact, recover that equipment, or we had the choice of also accepting a monetary value, which is really the bond that was put up. Our initial plan was to take the cash because we had just installed our second wrapper. As the last few months have unfolded, I've actually, you know, had a change of heart, and in fact, this coming week, through negotiation with the attorneys, we're actually going to the Whetstone plant to inspect the wrapper, and if we find it in good condition, we're going to take the equipment instead of the cash. And at this point, I'd much rather have the manufacturing flexibility and the ability to ramp up. Among other things, our production is starting to be a bit more complex as we produce product for more than one market. And so that's the status on the equipment. Hopefully, we'll be recovering that in the near future. In the other case, there is a mediation date that is now scheduled in May. We haven't finalized the exact date, but it will absolutely happen in May. And what the mediation is a non-binding meeting of the parties with a third-party independent mediator that's appointed by the judge with the hope that the parties can reach some agreements and negotiate some finalization of the case without having to go through more of an extended court case. Frankly, we believe that we continue to have a very strong case based on the agreements that are in place. And so I don't think we're under any pressure to accept a mediation that doesn't favor Yowie or its shareholders. But we're also prepared because it makes sense perhaps to take, you know, the uncertainty off the table to reach a negotiated settlement. So in May, we will have our mediation session, and we will report back to our investors post-mediation what the results of that were.
Very good, thank you. And just secondly, yep. The pending patent, how is that progressing?
Right now the patent is a rather insignificant part of the matter. We do not use the patented capsule that Whetstone developed. We have our own. There is no infringement case in any of the legal matters, so there's no. There's no challenge to the capsule that we've designed that we currently use today. And I believe, if I recall, the Whetstone capsule has a patent extension sometime into next year, perhaps. So there's a short life on that patent, but it's really very inconsequential to what's going on today. We have our own capsule. There's no capsule. There's no infringement that's being brought to any of the legal pronouncement. So it's really a non-issue.
Yeah, that's great to hear. Thank you.
Thank you, Matthew.
Yeah.
Our next question is from Mike Green from Green Invest. Please go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, hi, Bert. How are you?
Hey, good
Hello,
morning.
Bert.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, sorry, Bert. I've got a bit of a delay on the phone here. Just a question on the court case. With the possible mediation and also possibly taking the machine rather than cash, does that mean that the bonds that both Yowie and Whetstone have lodged will be returned, or those bonds stay there in the system until the final court case is settled?
No, the bonds are related to the equipment, so those would be released if we in fact accept the equipment. We're under no obligation to accept it, but right now that would be our preference, and the bonds would be released at that point.
Okay, so that would make it possibly harder to get any money if there was a claim against Whetstones down the track. But by the same token, we get cash back in the bank. We get the equivalent of the bond back.
Yeah, no, that's correct. And as I said, I very much supported the decision back in November to hold off and take the cash. But as the business has developed, and as I said, we've got starting to get a little bit more complexity in the portfolio, and you know, more changeovers and the like, I think we're smarter at this stage to take the equipment and not have to wait another year, which is what it would take if we ordered a new one. And the one that's in Whetstone, the amount of hours that it had run, it's pretty new.
Yeah. That's great to see some progress on that. On the Australian release, I was just wondering, is that over the whole of Australia or is it just an East Coast release? And how many were sent and what is the accounting of them? Are Universal actually buying them from us or effectively are we stocking them in Universal's warehouse and they're drawing them down?
We shipped, as I mentioned, we shipped the equivalent of 1.2 million in U.S. dollar terms. It was about five 40-foot containers, and those were purchased by Universal. We've already collected the cash, and so it's their inventory. Obviously, we're managing the marketing aspect of it, but they're in charge of the inventory, which they now own, and are placing it in market.
Oh, that's wonderful. And just to comment on how Easter's gone in the U.S. with our first Easter promotion and the Easter egg hunts and that, apart from the social media.
Easter, as I mentioned, is really a great holiday for us. And what we do at Easter time is we change our packaging from the very bright colors that we use during the year to pastel colors. And so a lot of that product ends up on an end cap, not on the front end where our everyday product is. It ends up on an end cap in special placement in stores like Walmart and other stores. Our Easter package sales were about double this year, close to $1 million versus what they were last year. Which feels about right. Usually, that the holiday is anywhere from 20 to 25% of your sales. A lot of that was shipped during the month of February and even a little bit in January. Some dribbled into March, but because the holiday was last year, I think it was March 29th. This year is the middle of April, so the shipments were a bit more concentrated in the quarter. Too early to tell what the takeaway is going to be because we don't really have that data from the Nielsen. But currently, we have great placement in store. There's no doubt about that. And we continue to feel that it's one of the holidays that particularly lines up well with our product. The Easter icons, which was part of our marketing program, we think of it as sort of a grassroots approach. We were involved in 9 of them across the country in 7 states. We concentrated in the states that have the highest concentrations of our young consumers. If you think about the U.S., Illinois, New York, Florida, Texas, and California, those 5 states, they're comprise about half of the age group that we cater to, somewhere in that 5 to 12 range. So we concentrated in those states, and they're sampling opportunities. We had promotional materials there to get to know the brand. I'd say that we had to our PR agency in New York, we had a lot of excellent coverage, well over 10 million of content on different newspapers. I even did an interview with one of the Pasadena papers in anticipation of that. And we also tied it into Earth Day, which happens to be on April 24th this year. It's right in our sweet spot around saving the natural world. So the delayed Easter gave us the opportunity just to bring in something that we feel very passionate about. The nice thing about the Easter egg hunts is while they're certainly a lot of work to organize, they're actually quite inexpensive. Because you're sort of sampling anywhere from 500 to 1,000 to maybe 1,500 samples, and it's in a big family event. So you not only get to have sampling with the children, but you get the parents exposed to the brand and what the brand stands for. So we're very happy with that. We got great coverage on it, and we'll certainly provide what the consumption or takeaway numbers were when we received that information from Nielsen. Sorry for the long explanation, but
It's exactly what I wanted. Thank you very much, Bert and Fred. I love the grassroots marketing. Yeah. I think it's very effective, and I was noticing the media on it, and I think it got a lot of traction, to tell you the truth, and I think that will follow through with more sales. Just one last follow-up. With orders going to Australia, have they ordered more out of interest? Because there's obviously a 4 to 6 week shipping or delivery date, and they've had a reasonable launch in Australia from what I can tell.
Yeah, we have another container that's ready to go, so we'll be sending that one out, and then we have plans for more production during the quarter. So our expectation is that we'll ship more before the fourth quarter ends.
Okay, and something that I haven't heard commented on at this stage is the scripts, books, and any of our other affiliated creating the Yowie brand. Could you just give us a quick update on where that's at the moment?
Yeah, that's actually been a little bit of a disappointment on our end. We were expecting that around this time of year we were going to have the first publications. The publisher that we were engaged with and had stopped working with others, eventually the key person that we had, which was our champion, left the publisher. And so we had to switch gears, and we're with another publisher now who's starting to present it in the marketplace. We also have a session, in fact, this week with some writers out of Hollywood that our director, Trish Fields, is working with, along with Bruce Davey, who's consulting for us on that end. We're going to be starting to do some re-editing of the books, and hopefully we'll get those out in the next couple of months, as well as start our work on the webisodes. One of the key decision points around this, not just the writer, is the voiceover of the characters, which is an important consideration.
Well, that's great. And I'm probably saying it wrong, the Yo-Kai Watch at the moment, was that also delayed? I haven't seen anything on that either.
No, we actually talked about that at the end of the second quarter. We did delay Yo-Kai into fiscal 18. Part of that was a decision on our part when we had the earlier production issues, and it was taking us a bit longer to get the approvals from the brand owner. We shifted it into 2000 and fiscal 18 so that we can focus on our own brand in terms of production. Right now it wouldn't be an issue because, as I said, we've bounced back very nicely. But that is going to be built into the next year plan. As we talk a lot more about details of fiscal 18 at the end of the fourth quarter, we'll give you a sense of the timing and the importance of the brand.
That's wonderful, Bert. Look, thank you very much for your time. I'll leave it open to other questioners. I seem to be hogging it.
Yep, thanks for your questions.
Thank you, Mike. Our next question is from Beth Senko from Edison Research. Please go ahead, Beth.
Good evening, Bert. I'm assuming you're in New Jersey today.
No, I'm actually in Sydney, no idea what time it is for you, but thanks for your question.
It's 7:30 p.m., just in case, but it's still Tuesday. Anyway, a couple of questions. First, the gross margin at 56% was quite good. Was a certain part of that, or a meaningful part of that, have to do with the shift away from McLean, I guess, for Walmart's Western region?
No, actually none of it has to do with that. There's two things that are going on there. One, obviously, we had a really good production quarter with our 5 million units. That's far and above what we've done any other quarter. We've obviously got the amortization over our fixed costs. We are getting some benefit from commodity costs. For those of you that follow cocoa in particular, cocoa prices have declined over the last few months. We don't use hedging we don't use derivatives to hedge, but we do buy forward in terms of contracting. So we've locked in some very good rates for future production on cocoa. So we're getting some commodity benefit, some scale benefit over our fixed cost base. And as our volumes have increased, we've been able to renegotiate packaging costs at lower levels. So I'm pretty encouraged by the trend. on our cost of goods, which obviously leads to a good margin, mm-hmm. and I believe that that will expand over the next few quarters for sure.
Okay, excellent. Second, on the robotics issues, is that still getting the capsules to fit in the molds correctly? Because I know that was sort of the problem this time last year, or was it just something new because of the changes with the new wrapper?
Yeah, no, it was on the robotics, which is on the chocolate line, is you know, prior to the wrapper, so not related to wrappers. Where we were having, where we've been having a bit of trouble on how the capsule falls into the mold, was really in the capsule feeder, and we've made some adjustments to the capsule feeders, where before they were sort of pressuring on each other. Now there's a sort of a buffer zone which allows them to drop in more individually. So that's actually improved the flow quite nicely. The robotics issue was more on the software, while it started off quite nicely, and I'm certainly not a software engineer, somehow the programs started to get a little out of whack, and we had to recalibrate all that. We've not had any issues in terms of the software in recent months.
Okay, excellent. You talk about portfolio complexity, then. You're talking about, like, you had different colored Yowies for Easter, and I guess there'll be, does that signify that you may do more in licensing, although I know that you wanted to be more select about in licensing, like Angry Birds rebranding. Sort of what you mean with the portfolio complexity?
Part of what you mentioned, yes, and so... When we do the Easter order, the packaging is different. Both the foil colors are different, as well as the package. And then they go into what in the industry is called PDQs, which are these shelf-ready displays that go right into the end cap. So that's a different
right.
That's a different run. We also have to when we move from making Series 2 for the U.S. to making Series 1 for the Australian launch, obviously different foil, different packaging, different labeling. And so you have to flush out the capsules that sit in the equipment. And so it takes you a number of hours to go from set up from one to the other and then back again. Those are the kinds of things which add complexity and some downtime. And as we look at... later in the quarter, having shipments going north into the Canadian market. Again, yet another set of packaging, different labeling. There we have the dual language with the French. So those are things that are new for us, we're managing them well. But it is far more complex mm-hmm. than at one time when we were just making, Series 2 for the U.S. market and the occasional package change. So.
Absolutely.
We're getting better at it, for sure, and that's what I meant by that.
Yeah. A question on the Easter egg hunts. I didn't get to one. It was too far north. Were you able to have the mascots there, or is that still sort of under development?
No.
The actual answer is
no. We didn't have the mascot there. We do have the Chicago Candy Show, which is coming around in May. And our plan is to have one of our mascots there. If you can't make it out to Chicago, we'll send some pictures and get them out. So we're excited about that to bring the characters to life, which is a really strategic part of how we want to manage the brand going forward.
I can't imagine the 15 pounds that I would gain going to the candy show like last time. can you also talk a little bit about Discovery World and how it's different. Are you worried at all about it cannibalizing the brand? Is it just a Walmart specific product, or is it just going to go right alongside?
Yeah, Discovery World obviously is a price segmentation strategy to give you some data points. Our product sells at Walmart, the Yowie product, for $2.48. We'll have Discovery World at somewhere around half of that. There's a lot of novelty products, most of it non-chocolate, with much simpler or small part collectibles that are at sort of that $1-$1.25 price point. And so while there certainly will be some cannibalization, we think the price point differential will minimize that. So we could get 10%, maybe a little bit more. That's our estimate. We'll see if that comes true. It's not a Walmart-specific product, although it will launch at Walmart first, and it'll launch on an end cap. So we're in the process now of discussing with Walmart how many stores we will put we will start with Discovery World. But the destination is for the front end. So what we're trying to do essentially is double our real estate on the front end, where we can have two slots on the front end of Walmart or in any other location. With different retailers, and obviously the broader portfolio is very interesting. One of the limitations that we do have, as great a product as Yowie is we bring one SKU to the retailer, whereas most of our competitors have been around a lot longer, and they bring a little bit more portfolio breadth. So it's a portfolio breadth strategy. It's a price segmentation strategy, and we're pretty excited about participating at a lower price point, which no doubt we'll have some cannibalization, but we think it'll expand the category to some extent and certainly have a much bigger impact on the other products that are at that price point versus our own.
Okay, and then last question, because I'm a hog on these things. What about multi-packs? Where do you guys stand on that?
Yeah, multi-packs it's kind of a fiscal 18 story in terms of how we're building it into our budgeting. We do have a 3-pack and a 6-pack. It is a completely different buyer, and in the case of Walmart, it's a completely different buyer. And so we're having to get a different appointment for that versus the appointment that we had recently for the launch, planning the launch of Series 3 and the Discovery World product. The aisle, which is where those products go, tend to be more rigid in terms of how often they change them, the planogramming. So you usually have to wait longer. They change those planograms once or twice a year. But we are excited about that part of the business because we think it's going to create, obviously, a lot of scale for us, as well as it's a completely different purchase occasion. When you're buying 3, it's usually for a gift or for a party, versus the much more impulsive front end. So think of that as an 18 story, but we are starting to present it to different retailers now.
Excellent, excellent. Well, have a lovely trip back.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Just due to time, our last question is from Vida Garmella, who's an individual investor. Please go ahead, Vida.
Thanks for taking my question. I just had a question about the play on Yowie digital platform. I was wondering if you see in the future, from a valuation perspective, there's going to be a lot of weight on the platform where the platform stands on the top and then the play goes into chocolate and toys and books, or do you actually see it as a chocolate play where the platform is building on to sell more chocolates? I was just trying to understand the strategy there.
Yeah, I think it'll have some benefit on the core brand clearly, because as we're able to roll out the digital aspects of the product, certainly it will create brand awareness. But we think of it as a different revenue stream and a completely different category. And so while they do have some reinforcement, we think that the books is really about the introduction of our mission and about our characters. Bringing those characters to life gives us the ability to take that next step into webisodes and digital cartoon and the like. Further off into the future, if we're able to execute on these, you might even see a feature film or a paid video game. Today we have free video games on the app. So it really is about how do you move into other categories? How do we license out instead of in, and create a world where people want, you know, keychains and T-shirts and the like, and they start to know the names of the characters and so on and so forth. So it's a completely different revenue stream in our minds. A lot of it may be royalty-based. It'll take time to get there, but we think the marketing investments behind the characters, which we are, it's very unique to Yowie. No one can copy that. It will reinforce and help the core brand sales through brand awareness, but it is a completely different part of the strategy.
So do you predict it to outpace the growth in the chocolate business and take up more of your top line than the
chocolate business? I think if we're successful in executing it, it certainly has the potential to be a much larger market versus the, you know, the chocolate core brand. Yes, I think that's the right way to think about it. You know, it could be a very, very large revenue stream compared to the core brand, but they do reinforce each other, although the potential would be higher in those categories.
Even the risk too, right?
It doesn't come without risk. I agree with you. I think of all of the items that I mentioned, probably the one that might be the hardest to crack is the paid video.
Mm-hmm.
There, you know, quite a number of companies have invested quite a bit to try to create, you know, paid video games. So if we get there, that's fantastic. It's not the one we're going to put all our eggs in that basket. I think the webisodes, the books, the ability to license out, if we're fortunate enough to raise the money, which is the way it's typically done, to create a film that brings the characters to life and has the conservation message. Those are the types of things that I think we'll put more of our emphasis on if we're able to get to a paid video game. To me, that's the riskiest one and the one we'd probably be the most cautious about.
So from a valuation strategy perspective, you're trying to build another Disney, a smaller version of it?
I'm going to be a little modest and say Disney-like.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
We like the potential for it. Obviously, we have a lot of work to do to get there, but we do think the brand intrinsically gives us the permission to try to get there.
Yep. Thanks for taking my question. All the best.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Listen, thanks, everyone, for your questions or listening in on the call. We can be available at other times if you have further questions, but we're gonna close the call at this point, and we look forward to have further communication with you in the future. Thank you.